welcome to this reflection from Stretton Vale Baptist Church. We continue to consider the idea that God is with us, and so that demands a response. So far, we've considered various responses of worship and praise, gratitude and surrender. This week, we consider how to respond in spiritual service. God is with us, which means he equips and empowers us, not only for our own benefit, but so we can love and serve God as we love and serve others. We have been given the most precious and amazing gift of grace that we could ever possibly imagine. And yet God is such a generous God that he continues to gift us with amazing gifts. To all who believe, God chooses to dwell in us by the Holy Spirit, who then manifests his spiritual gifts in our lives as according to the purpose of God. So let us look about what it means to have spiritual gifts and what we're supposed to do with them. When considering spiritual gifts, there are four key passages that speak on this subject. These are 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, Romans 12:3-8, Ephesians 4:7-16, and 1 Peter 4:7-11. Now obviously we're not going to read all these passages, as that would take quite a while, but I will reference bits from each of the passages, and you may want to look at the passages in your own time later. But I do want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, 4-11, and 27-31. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongue. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So the first thing I want to emphasise is that every believer is blessed by God by spiritual gifts. When someone comes to accept Christ as their Lord and Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. By his presence within someone, the Holy Spirit manifests his gifts according to his purpose. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." To the Romans, Paul said, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And to the Ephesians, he said, "Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift." So it is made quite clear that every believer is given spiritual gifts. So if every believer has spiritual gifts, then the next question is, what exactly is a spiritual gift? How do we define them? Many people have given helpful definitions of spiritual gifts. For example, one Bible dictionary defines them as specific abilities that the Holy Spirit grants to believers for the benefit of the church as a whole. But there's another definition that I like that comes from John Piper, who said, "A spiritual gift is an expression of faith that aims to strengthen faith." Or another way to put it would be this: a spiritual gift is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to to express our faith effectively for the upbuilding of another's faith. So considering these definitions, I want to restate again that this generosity is of God is given to all of his people. Everyone has been given at least one spiritual gift. I have heard sometimes that some Christians say things like, "Oh, I don't have any spiritual gifts." Or I've even had to help people who have worried that they are not really Christians because they don't think they have any spiritual gifts. But we know that God gives all believers his spirit, which means we all have spiritual gifts. Part of the problem people face is that they understand spiritual gifts to only refer to the so-called supernatural things, such as healing, speaking in tongues, and doing miracles. But if we look at the list of gifts found in the four passages, we see that there are some supernatural gifts mentioned, but there are also many more natural gifts included. And so this is why I find Piper's definition of spiritual gifts to be the most helpful. His description is useful because it takes the focus of wondering if this or that gift is a spiritual gift, and instead it places the focus on the purpose of that gift. The purpose being that a gift is being used for God's mission for building up of his body and his kingdom. Therefore, any gift that is being used to build up someone's faith is a spiritual gift, because the Holy Spirit is enabling us and empowering us to do his work of growing the kingdom of God. So this means that we have all been given gifts that enable us to express our faith so that others are encouraged in faith and God's kingdom grows. So, I don't want to hear anyone say that they haven't got any spiritual gifts. The next thing I want to highlight is something I've already touched upon, and that is that the spiritual gifts are given to us so that we can serve others through them. All four passages speak this message. In 1 Corinthians 12 it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Romans 12 says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." In Ephesians it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." And finally, in 1 Peter, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace." The fact that this is emphasised in all of the passages to each of the churches demonstrates how important it is for us to use the gifts that we're given to serve others. And so there are two things I want to consider when thinking about this. Firstly, this is a reminder that we are not given spiritual gifts so that we can enjoy them for ourselves, or even so that we can boast about them to make ourselves feel somehow superior. This was an issue within the church in Corinth. They were using the spiritual gifts to puff themselves up and were trying to show off by having greater gifts than others. But this is not the correct use of the gifts that God gives us. If we only use spiritual gifts purely for the benefit it affords us, then we are not following God's will for our lives. Spiritual gifts can be great at encouraging our own faith, and we do receive many benefits for ourselves by having spiritual gifts. These are the wonderful benefits that come from having these gifts. But the ultimate purpose of the spiritual gifts are not for our own needs or desires. And so that leads me on to the second thing I want to highlight. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to serve others. This is not a suggestion, it is a necessity. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the importance of each person using their spiritual gift as each gift enables the church to function effectively. And then Paul uses the image of a human body to illustrate his point. Each part of the body relies on the other parts. The human body could not function as effectively as it does if it didn't work in tandem with the other parts. As Paul says, "Now if a foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." And he also says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" We all need to use our gifts as God intends them if we want to see God's kingdom grow. If any of us choose not to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us, then the church, and indeed the whole community around us, is all the poorer for it. Each of us needs to use whatever gift God has given us. For example, some of us might be gifted in using the words that God gives us. We might find ourselves encouraging someone who is being downcast. Or perhaps you might teach someone about an aspect of faith that you know about. Or you might receive a word of knowledge that for someone that uplifts them. Others of us might be gifted with serving others with their hands or other such ways. For example, someone might find they're able to share God's love by fixing a neighbour's car. Someone who is gifted with the gift of hospitality might find that they, by cooking a delicious meal, they're able to bring people together. Or someone who is skilled in craftsmanship might be able to make something for someone that enables them to worship God more fully. We need to choose whether we will use his gifts as he intends, or if we will not use our gifts and miss out on the things that God will do through us. The final thing I want to mention is the need for us to use our gifts as best as you can. Peter instructed us, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." We have each been given these gifts to act as faithful stewards of God's grace. This means that we need to consider if we are truly serving God and others with our full heart, or if we're just going through the motions. The journey of faith that each of us walk can feel long, with moments of trial and trouble, moments of joy and celebration, and lots of moments of routine and even monotony. It is during these routine moments of daily life that we might find ourselves becoming complacent in the way we love and serve God, and the way we love and serve others. Because life is not too hard or too joyous, we allow ourselves to slip into comfort and not consider how we could be using our gifts to serve someone else. Now, please hear me. I am not suggesting that we always try to give more than we're able to, and I'm certainly not suggesting that we should be serving until we burn out. That is not good to anyone, not for you and not for those you serve. We are called to use our gifts to serve others so that the whole body can be built up. This also means ourselves, so do not serve until you burn out. However, we should also not take the opposite end of the spectrum either, where we get too comfortable in our own bubbles, that we do not use our gifts to serve others at all. This means that we need to daily ask God, "How do you want me to use your gifts today?" He will guide you to who we should minister to and how, but we need to ask daily, because it is so easy to fall back into our comfortable bubbles. There may be times that God tells us that we need to rest and look after ourselves, and there may be times that God wants us to step out of our comfort zones and reach out to someone in need. But we can only understand how God wants us to work if we communicate with him on a daily basis. God wants us to have that intimate relationship with him that allows us to understand his purposes for our lives. So you need to use your gifts as best as you can. But you also need to use your gifts as best as you can. This is made explicitly clear in the four passages God gives each person different gifts as he has designed. And so we should use the gifts that God has given us rather than trying to compare ourselves to others. We should use our gifts and not try and use someone else's. We humans are obsessed with making comparisons, and we even find ourselves doing this with spiritual gifts. This is why the writers of the letters to the different churches were so keen to point out that God gives different gifts to different people, so that they can serve different purposes in God's kingdom. If we all had the same gifts, then the church would never grow. But God had perfectly designed his church so that different people have different gifts, allowing the church to grow so that people can learn of his love, grace, and mercy. We all need to use our gifts, each one of us, so that the church grows. But we need to use our gifts and not someone else's. We see a perfect practical example of this in Acts chapter 6, when the apostles are alerted to an issue with the division of food in the church. The apostles realised they could not stop their God-given ministry as apostles to serve in this other way, and so they appointed people with the right gifts to see to the administration of the food. Different people were given different gifts to serve different needs. And so we need to serve people with the gifts that God has given us and not try to serve with gifts that God has given to other people. Allow God to use you in the way that God intends, and don't feel shortchanged or envious if you prefer someone else's gifts. Equally, don't feel as if you're inadequate in any way because you think that the way that someone else is serving is somehow more important or relevant. Each person has a role that is just as important as the next. So we see that because God is Emmanuel, God is with us, we are each given spiritual gifts to use to serve God and serve others. Everyone has a gift. Everyone is given that gift so that they can serve others. And we are all called to serve as best as we can in the way that God has given us. So serve in the Spirit as faithful stewards of the grace that God has given us.